It's Tuesday, July 12th, 2016. And this is Insight Out, the Naked Truth. Coming to you live from Northern California, the Santa Cruz Mountains, from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it.
What do we make of it?
Well, we sprinkle it with laughter, good music, and a few surprises, and we figure out what to make of it on the show.
Yeah, well, don't forget.
I will try my best.
Our show is sponsored by Go Raw, natural food, nutritious and delicious. And you can find Go Raw in Safeway and Costco and Whole Foods and on the Go Raw line. What is that, Rochelle? GoRaw.com.
And Universe Spirit, also our sponsor, awakening us to the impact of climate destabilization and how we can make a difference.
It's a challenge. I keep looking at those daily messages from Job One for Humanity, which is the website to go to find out about how we're dealing with this very impending, uncomfortable, possible devastation that may be upon us, but not if we do something about it. We're going to minimize the devastation.
I just read a story about a 12-year-old boy who is inventing things as we speak. That's what we leave out. We forget. We think we are limited. But the young people who are coming after us, the next generation, they don't think they're limited at all.
All the more reason not to forget, especially since don't forget is the featured phrase of tonight's program.
Oh, I like that.
Don't forget. I don't know about you, but I have trouble remembering not to forget. Not to do is a difficult thing to do. Like, am I more likely to remember something or to not forget that something? Actually, don't forget is really a conundrum. And you know how annoying those pesky conundrums can be when they're let loose? Ooh. When you start off any reminder with the word don't, you're almost guaranteed to set yourself up for failure and a potential shame attack. Really. How do you don't do something? Nevertheless, you're here tonight with us and some of our regular characters. Don't forget, or should I say remember? Forget it. What can I say? But don't forget. So let's jump into the subject now.
I've thought about that today and I realized that can't forget. How easy it is for fear to leap into our consciousness, putting up invisible barriers to love, to unity. We must be mindful, ever present, to the realization that we have fallen into a pit of fear. All of a sudden, our we has become us and them, and they are no longer friend but foe. When they are the enemy, our malicious thoughts and actions become justified. Eat or be eaten rules the roost. Don't forget, the only way out is to embrace the baseness of our nature so it is exposed. And as it is exposed to the light of our love, it begins to evaporate into nothingness. The divisions begin to blur and unify. Don't forget how powerful love is. Don't ever forget how powerful love is.
And if you need a reminder, remember
how powerful love is.
I just read something in the book that quotes Yeshua. which I do often, which is Love Without End, Jesus Speaks. And he brought up that very point. He said, decay must be exposed. Or if it isn't, then it's just going to continue to act like those little conundrums. Little pesky ones that we let loose a little earlier ago, they're just going to go and gobble, gobble up our potential and chew away our sense of who we are and our confidence that we can do something about it. I can almost hear them chewing right now with all this partisanship, this divisiveness. What I'm curious about, once you tell me this, I'm going to do my best to remember it. Why now? What's going on now? Is it that we're having this extreme partisanship and polarity? On the other hand, is it really any different, or is just showing up in a different outfit?
I don't think it's showing up in a different outfit. I think it's showing up exposed. It's interesting that we're coming to you where the truth is always naked. Well, for a long time, the truth has been wearing clothes. The truth, and I'm not speaking of the truth, the higher truth. I mean, the truth, what's true. The baseness of human beings has been covered over by a lot of platitudes and everything else. After a while, you can't cover it up anymore. It starts to be exposed. I don't think it's that different. Certainly Kublai Khan or whatever his name was certainly...
It was Kublai Cohen.
Oh, he certainly was not what you'd call pleasant to the people he didn't like. You know, they lopped off heads and they lopped off arms. Just reading about England in the... When was Elizabeth Queen?
She was born in the 1500s.
What people did to each other was more frightening than what we do to each other. So I really don't think that it's that much different in terms of the last few thousand years or so. We just see more of it all the time because there's media. Media is so immediate. Those people that got shot in Dallas, Texas, those pictures were shown instantly to everybody on the planet, right away, while it was happening. I think when you see all that, it triggers off fear in you that that could happen to you too.
So I have this insight that media is the culprit. Who's winning in all of this strife? Media. For example, the money raised by presidential candidates, where does most of it go? Media. Who gets the money that all this conflict, so we tune in and watch? Media. Media is the culprit.
I wouldn't say media is the culprit, but media can spread the culprit. I don't see media as the culprit because media is doing is shining the image out into the world. And because of the accessibility of that media, we can all see it so fast. It's the speed. You know how everything is speeded up in the 21st century? You watch a movie that was made in 1930, it seems like it's plodding along.
It's still on.
Right? We've sped up everything. Information gets to us immediately. I watched two people in the restaurant we were eating in the other day. They both sat down, they both whipped out their phones, and they both began to text. For a moment, I thought maybe they were just texting each other. I don't know. Maybe they were, maybe.
Actually,
that's the only way they know how to converse.
They texted me, and they asked me, when I came in, I saw your food. It was so delicious looking. What are you having? And then I texted back, and fortunately I can text in Chinese, because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to tell them.
Except we weren't in a Chinese restaurant.
That's true. But I text in Chinese.
Okay, gentlemen and ladies, I'm going to say something that Errol does not like. He's not telling the truth.
No, you were going to say you're not obliged to believe me.
Oh, you're not obliged to believe him. You decide when he's telling the truth and when he isn't.
I think you can decide. I wanted to share, for example, you were talking about wearing the different clothes. Well, you remember the emperor in The Emperor's New Clothes?
Mm-hmm.
He's now a resident at Lupin. That's right. He feels so comfortable about being here that we are honored to have an emperor with us. He just fits right in. It's really bad, huh?
Terrible.
Okay, while we're recovering from that attempt at humor, I want you to listen to Etana. This song is called Don't Forget.
Yourself this question, as if you're not, then I would advise you to stop from living a lie. Don't sigh for your conscience, no mama say, walk in a dark, no say it must come out in the light. Don't forget, no, just to know yourself's a blessing.
Forget, just anoint yourself with blessing. So why don't you all just do that right now? Go ahead and take a little anointments. We sell anointments here in a little tincture. It's called a tincture of anointment. And it's a special kind of an ointment because it has the A-N in front of it. You smell it. Blessing. Anoint yourself. Blessing. That's the subject. All right, I admit I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm so glad you said that. You spoke about don't forget as a negative kind of thing. Why don't you just say remember? But we are forgetting. If you say remember, we're not remembering. So there's no reinforcement there. But when you say don't forget, that is immediate. That has something to do with what's going on with us. I don't think of it as negative. I think of it as getting our attention, because forget is what we do.
Let's say you have this concept, like anoint yourself with blessing, and she sings, don't forget. Now, as you're listening, is it better to say, remember to anoint yourself with blessing?
No, because if you're not doing that, how can you remember it? You haven't done it. But she says, don't forget to do it. That will bring you back. That's why I think that's valid.
I hear you. I don't fully comprehend, but I have someone who hopefully will, Rabbi Greenberg.
Hey, Rabbi.
Hello. Of course, I'm happy to remind myself all the time. Remember. And if remember doesn't work, which it more and more doesn't work, I remember to say don't forget. And if I'm like you, Rochelle, it snaps me into attention and it says, don't forget this. This is important. Whereas remember, it's like maybe it's not so important. So I don't know if it's like a value thing, if one's more important than the other. But you have to ask yourself, what's important enough that you won't even have to be reminded? Don't forget. You remember it so well right away. It's pinned to your brain cells with a stick pin.
and you can unstick it and bring it back to memory, like a blessing. For example, when you're about to beat up on yourself, this is when you have the don't forget kicking in from tonight and me saying to you, don't do that. And don't forget not to do that either, because you'll feel better if you don't beat up on yourself.
I totally agree. We can't beat up on ourselves. But if you say remember, you'd have to say not to beat up on yourself.
That's right. And of course, for some people, that isn't the problem. It's beating up on other people. It's killing them, feeling justified and motivated to end the life of another human being. Why does a person have to get to my sugar? Hey, the brain cells are so famished in there that someone would think that taking another life is going to make things better and make some deity happy with me. Hey, it's not my deity. No. My deity is a little strange, I admit. He's behind evolution, and evolution is crazy, very crazy. So it makes you wonder, maybe the creator's a little crazy too. But then I'm a little crazy, and I'm made in the creator's image. So what's not to like? Don't forget.
I won't forget that at all, Rabbi Greenberg. When you say made in the creator's image, the image of the creator, for me, is love. And there is no image. Even though I'm made in that image, or the image of creating, I'm a creative being. That's the image. It's a creator, a creative being. Love, lover. It's very difficult to act on the things we believe so sincerely all the time, because we're still growing and learning. This is the course I'm taking. I'm taking a course to be a lover.
So, if I may step in here, this is Senator Beauregard. Just to even get to the point you're talking about, or even consider your motivation or your behavior or the things you say, and you hold them up to the light of awareness. That's a big step there. And actually, Rochelle, little cupcake, I'm just kidding you now, we talked about cupcake. She was very upset about me calling her cupcake. But I thought maybe I could get away with teasing her, but clearly I can't. So I'll move on to the subject at hand.
I wish you could all see my eyes roll.
But Rochelle, she has the prettiest rolling of eyes that you've ever seen. They look a little like, well, cupcakes. But anyway.
Oh, Senator, you're true.
I'm just fooling with you. The thing I want to stress here, I'm going to not forget something. Don't forget to take up your responsibility as citizens and participate. You don't like the polarity that's going on in this country? My recommendation to you is that you check out and see if there's any polarity going on in yourself. There's any part of you that's divided from another part of you. And I suspect that's the beginning of the problem. It's very hard to legislate against. So it's up to you, all who are listening, to listen inside yourself and see if you can come to a better point of view. Don't forget.
I was listening to the memorial service of the policemen and others who were shot in Dallas this week. One of the things that really struck me was that the peaceful protesters who were protesting against action of some policemen against people of color or black youth were being protected by a lot of white policemen, literally protected, so much so that when the bullets started flying, a mother who was trying to protect her children was aided and abetted by a policeman in such a way that she was not going to forget, to the point where one of her sons said, when he grows up, he wanted to be a cop because that cop was so valiant, exposing himself to protect his family. I just heard those stories over and over again this morning, listening to them on the radio. There's moments when we actually act out the best of ourselves. And then there's moments when we act out the basest of ourselves. So I like to not forget, to remember as much as possible to act out of the highest of myself rather than the basest.
Here comes another option. Do you need reminding?
I believe I need reminding.
So that's like reminding comes with the don't forget. So you can get the don't forget, we'll remind you combo, which is superior than just don't forget.
And serve with cheese.
Serve with cheese to remind you to not forget. One of the things I learned in being a hypnotherapist, that's one of the best ways to make sure you don't forget, is to reprogram your mind so that you are reminded through whatever post-hypnotic suggestion to not forget. When your subconscious, what stores the memories, so you want to know who's kind of responsible for the remembering and the forgetting. Is it the conscious mind or is it the subconscious mind? What do you think, Professor Schnitzel?
Yeah, you get to the subconscious mind where all the synapses are linking up with each other or making this habitual way of not remembering the thing that you're supposed to not forget. You have to break the synapse. You have to break into the subconscious and make a switch, like a switching train to a new way of communicating, not forgetting, doing something. So you make the switch. It's very good, Errol, that the hypnotic thing that you were doing there, and I heard about you. I heard that one thing was that lady who fell out of her chair when you were hypnotizing her. How did you handle that?
Wow, that was something. It was a big room, about a couple hundred people, and they were all very quiet and being hypnotized, and then crash, lady falls out of her chair. So I quickly resorted to my backup hypnotic suggestions and said, the crash you just heard is part of the deepening of your hypnotic process, or some other ridiculous thing.
Did you really do that?
I said something like that, or I told them, don't pay any attention. And pretty much they were deep enough in hypnosis at that point that they just kept right on going down, down, down. You're getting very sleepy, relaxing. And Rochelle, wake up. But that's a good way if you really are determined to remember something, especially if you're making a change. Right, Professor?
Yeah, or the changes is the hardest thing there, especially the older you get, the harder it is to make change. That's why you can't teach old tricks to new dogs, because they don't go for it. That's why they have that now in a rule book. When you're coming to this country, about that, not trying to teach old tricks to new dogs, because they won't listen.
Professor.
Yeah? Did I get this wrong?
It behooves me to remind you that we keep our brains alive by remembering new things and learning new things.
Ah, yeah, of course, to keep the brain alive and solving little new problems every day. It's like Captain Crunch for the brain. Zap.
Right.
It gives it a sizzle, opportunity to flex itself. And the brain loves flexing. Flexing is very popular in Brainville.
I know that you know that, so you were just teasing.
But again, we want to remind ourselves not to forget the really good things that are super important good things. You know what I'm talking about? Let's remember. Here we go. Talawa is going to remind us with a special please not to forget.
Don't forget your roots. Please don't forget your life. Please don't forget your history. The ghetto people always suffer. The honest people sometimes cry. Children are dying in the street. Please don't forget your roots.
Please don't forget your roots. Please don't forget, sings Talawa in its uniquely reggae music way. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Our sponsors are Go Raw and Universe Spirit, their website being Job One for Humanity. Again, to remind you to remember, not to forget, to remind others to remember. Not to forget that we have an impending upon us already. No longer just pending.
No, it's moving. Moving toward death. We're constantly growing older. And then we'll die. So this is something that's happening. It's been triggered for a long time. It's a happening thing. Climate destabilization. Whether or not it's truly horrible is another story.
You have to qualify for truly horrible.
I qualify it by saying that change can be very scary. And yet change is what happens all the time. Think about the dinosaurs who aren't here anymore. They had a good time running around eating all the stuff they wanted on this planet. And they don't even exist anymore.
I read recently over 90% of species that have existed don't exist anymore. They moved them to Jupiter. They just took them right up in a space travel mammalian type rocket ship. No, huh? Okay. I guess that didn't happen. Father O'Malley, you were going to come in and talk to us about blessing. And I'd like to get back to you because it's something we should remember. Oh, sure it is, my boy. And it's easy to forget. You know how actors learn lines there. I mean, talk about not forgetting. They're not allowed to forget. So what do? They have to really take the time to cement it and put it into their brain. Or some actors just can learn it in the conversation of performing the part. Not other people. They have to sit down and stuff it in their brain there and go over and over it so they don't forget it. One of the things that you learn about a blessing is that, first of all, you can't say what kind of blessing it's going to be because you really don't know. All you know is what the blessing feels or tastes like. That you'll know it's a blessing. Because something inside you will do either like a, ah, or a, or something like a, whoa, something like that. That's how you know it's a blessing. It always comes with an out-of-the-box kind of expression to itself. So you're a little bit surprised by it, and that's part of what makes it a blessing. It has some surprise built into it, which they get from a surprise manufacturing company there in Ohio. Kenton, Ohio is the surprise manufacturing company headquarters. No, huh?
Errol Strider. All our guests tonight have been spending too much time with you. They're all I'll become as silly as you are. You know, I'm going to have to separate you guys.
Well, there's the Blarney, and then there's Barney. I hope we hear from Barney sometime tonight there, Errol. Well, I hope so, too. I don't know where he went. He's out looking around for something not to forget, I suspect.
I don't want to forget the impact, what has been imparted by the last few months. Really strange behavior in the sense that people shoot each other. Don't forget that that's a human being that you're shooting. And he could shoot you the same way. You're taking a life. You're robbing a child of its father or mother. You're robbing a husband or wife of their mate. You're robbing a parent of their child. To just do it so willfully and not remember, you're not just taking out a life. You're robbing people. The implication of that.
Wouldn't you agree that you have to be pretty unconscious to do that? Certainly unaware. Certainly disconnected from who you are and who everybody else is in the universe. In that song, Remember Your Roots, he talked about my roots. You might think of my family, where I was born, the values, my religion. But to me, my real roots are in evolution itself, in this dynamic process that has provided a stage upon which I enter. It's where we find the root of our being is in this unfoldment. If you take the word evolve, it means to unfold. So I'm rooted in this foundation of being. Being itself is the foundation. Being comes before all, which is why I worship all being, which I highly recommend as an alternative for a name for the Almighty God or whatever you choose to call that all beingness. The all beingness and learning to abide therein, that I would say, remember that. That's a biggie.
It's juicy.
Juicy? Are you kidding? What do you think, Professor Umbridge? How juicy is all being?
Oh, it's just filled with fluids, my boy, of every conceivable kind of fluid, and it'll get you intoxicated, the all beingness. You'll find yourself just bubbling forth with all the liquidity that is in all beingness. It's just sloshing everywhere throughout time and space and eternity. Wherever it sloshes up and makes a wave of itself, you'll find some expression of being in the form of activated love, like activated charcoal. It's very much like that. You activate the love, and what does it come up and show up as? Life. That's right, and you are part of that life. I would concur that your roots are in the evolution. So what is evolution? It's a process. Different patterns of relationships constantly in process. So I would recommend that you remember that we're always in process and try not to fixate on anything that appears to be, well, fixated. Don't forget.
Huh. In other words, is that which is fixed, stuck material?
It could be anything. Could be a fixated belief that you have. It couldn't be anything that appears to be fixed and confined to that form that it is currently expression, rather than seeing it as just a process. It's just an unfolding of other things to come. So you don't fixate on it as if that's it. No, you just go with the flow, my dear, and make decisions as you go. But you don't hold anything rigid in structure and expect it to continue to stay like that ad infinitum, let alone 5 minutes from now.
It's definitely a more advanced concept than most of us enact daily. We definitely do get fixated, and then we get fixated on how to fix something.
How to fix the fixation.
Right. I mean, we feel like it's not okay to be in this place. We have to get out of this place. And we fixate on that, the exit strategies. I have compassion for people because I see so much of my own meanderings in so many people. I meander. I stop every now and then to be in the beingness, but I meander. I can understand that without awareness, you could meander for a long time. The awareness that you're meandering is definitely a help to keep you meandering.
I saw a travel advertisement for a meandering kind of summer vacation where they drop you somewhere and you just meander about and see where the meandering takes you. And they have meandering guides who also don't know where they're going. So that's why the company is called The Blind Leading the Blind.
God, help us.
In the meandering. So ask yourself, is your life meandering, O listener? Are you on purpose? Do you want to be on purpose? Do you want to just kind of kick back and enjoy the meandering? Or do you feel like you need a little sizzle up your butt or somebody saying to you, hey, remember, don't forget, your vote counts, or the equivalent of that. I want to raise a question here, and the question is, what's wrong? We keep alluding to all this. Let's see if we can grapple with that.
What's wrong?
That group was called Sweetwater. Some of their lyrics, what's wrong with our folks? Strong and solid as 100-year oaks, so firm in their ways that they think we are jokes. They just don't know why. What's wrong in their head? Won't they just try to see it once our way instead? Sounds like a hippie of the 60s, doesn't it? If they did, then there would not be any young dead no reason to cry. What's wrong? Won't you tell me what's wrong in your heart? Do you feel that soon mankind and reason will part? Seems like they're doing a little bit of that now, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with this top as it spins each year gives us a worsening crop of hatred that one day will cause it to stop, a lesson we all should be learning. What's wrong? And an even better question is, what's it going to take to move it out of being wrong into a more workable, healthy, just, loving way of being?
You also often said that these things we speak about and read about are a very small percentage of what's happening daily in the world. As someone pointed out, I think it was Obama, most of us just get up in the morning, we goop down our breakfast as fast as possible, kiss our kids, go off to do our jobs, whatever they may be, come home, eat dinner, try to relax a little bit from the day we had, and go to sleep and start all over again. Don't think it's in any way boring or anything else. It's what we do. We're nice to each other. We do fun things together. We attend places of worship, churches, temples, mosques with other people who feel as we do. We feel amazing connection to those people most of the time. We live really caring lives, most of us. And the few who don't, the few who are abhorrent in their behavior towards their fellow humans, are the ones that make the headlines. I have to remember that all the time. This isn't the majority of humanity. This isn't the norm. This is not normal.
That's what's so misleading about the way it's put forth by media. As we know, media thrives on conflict because we're such an immature beings that, you know, the more conflict, the more it holds our attention. Just like a little baby needs nice bright colors and sharp contrasts. And again, it goes back to we're just a little ways along the evolutionary track. Would you agree, Barney, as a bona fide member of the evolutionary process? This is Barney. Well, I know I don't think of myself in that way, dear, but it's good to be reminded, dear, because I had a fellow once that I met, and he was a very interesting guy. He would walk up to people all the time, all over the streets, and he would engage with them in the conversation, and he always was trying to get to them to remember who they were, that they weren't this amalgamation of concoction of reactions to life's ever-changing phenomena. Boy, I never put so many big words together like that in such a long time. You're a good influence, Rochelle. I like your way to use big words together. And they go together when you use them, too.
Oh, darn.
Sometimes I use words together, but the point being here is underneath the what's wrongness. Like you say there, most people just live their lives. It's only the drama queens and kings that come out there. By the way, you got the emperor there where you stand. Very cool. The emperor at your clothing optional lodge, the one with no clothes.
Oh.
I like that. I was a little shy about coming out there, but if I know the emperor's there, that's something special. I have to remind myself to do that, or at least tell myself, don't forget that, because it's easy to forget. And that's something you might want to take a look at there, Rochelle and Errol. What? How easy it is to forget. It's easy. It doesn't take a lot of effort. You know, nobody has to be on top of you. You can forget like that, like nothing. So why is it so easy, and yet the other side is much harder?
Barney, you may be one of a handful, Errol being a one, too, who make a living at forgetting.
How do you make a living at forgetting? I never heard such a thing.
Well, if you forget all the time and you still have everything you need, you are making a living at it.
That's a very good point. It does seem like that. Errol, when I look at your life, I have to say I admire you. Like today. Talk about earlier, you got up today, you did the laundry, you cleaned the stalls and the johns and mopped the floor. Made the bedspreads and all that for the people to come in. You got it made. How did you get such a terrific thing, a terrific job there? Did you train for this? Well, actually, I didn't train for it. Continue to be mostly a slob, actually. It's quite appropriate that the universe has given me this job.
Can I say something about your job, the way I see it, just to put a new twist on it? An old twist, I don't know.
Ooh, a new twist.
When we do something very basic, like clean, it's a very basic thing. You watch cats, you know, they're cleaning themselves all the time. Their tongues are pulling out their dirt, and little monkeys are always cleaning each other. Cleaning does something to you, and I do think you're in training most of your life. If you decide that you want to live a spiritual life, you have to clean.
You have to clean up your act.
You have to become aware of the significance of cleaning, of removing detritus, removing dirt, removing icky, bucky things and making things sparkle. There's something very beautiful about that, very holy about it. So you've been in training to be a holy man. This is a graduate course in holiness, is to clean somebody else's junk.
Not to mention the shit. I've learned so many interesting things in cleaning toilet bowls. That's the interesting thing about this work. It doesn't matter what it is. It always is offering up new opportunities to take it further.
I love it.
This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. We're sponsored by Go Raw and Job One for Humanity. And tonight we're looking at forgetting. Don't forget. And I kind of want to go back to where we started. How do you not do something? I mean, I heard what you said earlier about don't forget kind of jars you a little more than just remembering, which is a little more soft sell. But how do you not do something? As an example, we're actors, and I'm a director, and when you're working with an actor, you always tell them you can't play not doing on stage. You can only do, and then you may bump into something that causes you not to do anymore, but they're always moving forward. So how do you stick that don't in there and make it work?
If it's something that's going to hurt you, that don't is really important. Don't put your hand in the plug.
Don't forget to not put your hand in that plug when you get there the next time. Is that it?
I don't know. You confuse me.
Well, we're talking about don't forget.
So don't forget to not confuse me.
That's hard by my very nature.
I don't know. I don't have as much problem with this as you. It's sort of like you've become fixated on the don't. How do you don't do something? I don't think you don't do something. What you're don'ting is the thing that prevents you from doing.
The don'ting prevents you from the doing.
Yes.
Don't forget that. That's good. The don'ting. So next time you encounter a don'ting.
Don't be daunted by the don'ter.
Don't be. I love that. That's very good. They tend to hang out with the conundrums. They run in a pack, the don'tings. And the conundrums, actually the conundrums ride the don'tings.
Oh, God, help us.
And they go up and down the streets that way. It's just completely absurd. Once you get inside my mind.
Don't get inside his mind. Yeah. It's too confusing.
Think of it as a blessing that you're able to live outside my mind. By the way, tell him what happened the other day. There was a report. We had a big, wonderful event.
The Summer of Love, yes. It was the 60s and the 70s were being celebrated, which is my coming of age, for sure. Anyway, there was a report that an old man was dancing on the lawn, and Errol realized it was him.
Well, what happened was, this my friend Gary comes up to me and said, did you hear this old man was dancing on the lawn? Naked, too, of course. And I said, no! Really? He said, yeah, it was seen and reported by others. I said, that's awful. They shouldn't allow that old man dancing naked. Ooh, God, that's like, I don't even want to think about that. That's something I want to forget. And then I got to thinking,
And not forgetting.
And sure enough,
he looked in the mirror and realized it was him.
That's hard to accept about yourself.
You're getting old, not that you're dancing.
Yeah, because the part that still dances and loves to dance and feels like he's dancing also still thinks he looks like he looked when he was 30 and dancing.
Or even 40.
I'll take 50 for 500.
There's something extraordinarily beautiful about accepting every decade that you go through as being wonderful. It's different. It changes. I can speak personally about your body is not the same body that you had when you were young, no matter what you do to it. Even if you fit, run. By the time you get to a certain age, things, as they say, return to gravity.
And they start by the water leaving your body. I found that like a baby is 90% water and older people are like 60%. And you can see it in your skin. Ugh, where'd the water go?
It's the yuck part. There's something very tender. I looked at my skin the other day and realized there was something tender.
Well, your skin has always been tender, honey.
Yeah, but it's the aging. Like, I loved my grandmother. She was about the same age I am right now when I was loving her. She was so soft and easy to hug. She was so accessible, and her skin, wrinkled as it was, held beauty. And I always saw it as beautiful. So I'm trying to see myself as my own grandmother.
Well, just look in my eyes.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah?
You just were forgiven a whole lot of things.
And boy, did I need to catch up. Man, oh man. I did some stuff the other night that I was going to have to pull out that Romanian in me, big time.
Yeah.
The Romanians are known for their...
It's easy to forgive when you're in a state of love.
So that's the thing to remember. What does it take to get into a state of love? And you may ask, well, what is that state? Is it between like Oklahoma and Missouri?
I hope not.
Well, I hope it is. I hope it's between every state and every country and every citizen. I read the other day that when you're making an exchange, like for an item that you buy, you're not exchanging something for money. You're exchanging actually deeper values, rapport, trust, a shared appreciation. There's so much more going on in every exchange than we give credit for.
Maybe that's why people are so upset. Because the exchange is no longer equal. You're not getting value. When you bought something, when you bought an appliance, you really expected it to last 20 years because it did. And now you buy an appliance, if it lasts a year, you're happy. So you're not getting equal exchange. And it's subtle, but after a while, people get angry because they're being ripped off.
I don't know if it's so much about in products like that, because a lot of products, you do get your money's worth. The unequal exchange, the inequality, is something we certainly face and need to address. The inequality, what motivates a person to want to keep most all of it for themselves, really? Let's consider that as we move on into our series. We're on once a week. And this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. So, Rochelle, what should we not forget?
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Don't forget.